It's the Vigil of Christmas. Welcome to today's AdventCast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. From The Church's Year of Grace by Pius Parsh. The mystery at Bethlehem may be viewed in light of its visible externals or in its invisible supernatural implications. For many years now, increasing stress has been placed on its human or visible aspects. How beautiful a scene! There in a clean white manger lies the infant of Bethlehem, sweet and lovely. We see only the stable, the crib, a babe surrounded by animals and cherished by a radiantly beautiful mother. So holy a simplicity banishes distractions. Everything is so touchingly serene that even those outside the faith are emotionally stirred. Good as such a human approach may be, it does not bring out the message Bethlehem was meant to give. There is another way of looking at the crib, with supernatural lenses aiding our eyes. The liturgy gives us this needed aid. Its texts are little concerned with the crib or the poverty of the child. Instead, Christ and the mysteries of the Holy Night are seen in divine perspective. Frequently, the first statement one makes on a given problem is the most significant. What is the first statement the liturgy makes on the Feast of Christmas? We find it in the opening antiphon at Vespers. On first reading, we may not be all impressed. The King of Peace is exalted, and the whole world desires to see his face. To aid us get its meaning, the second antiphon repeats the idea. The King of Peace is exalted over all the kings of the entire earth. The newborn Lord is called the King of Peace, not the infant of Bethlehem. Should this poor, weak child really be a king? Certainly. This child is your king, my king. But a king may be a tyrant, cruel, unapproachable, war-minded. Christ is King of Peace in a twofold way. His coming is peaceful, and he bestows peace as his gift. In external appearance he may seem poor and mean. Nevertheless, his is a crown of precious stones glittering so brilliantly that our eyes become blinded, and upon his shoulders rests a royal mantle studded with the stars of heaven. The universe is his throne, the earth his footstool. But all such majestic apparel he has put aside, so as not to frighten us. From the crib as a throne he exercises his rule of peace. For another reason, too, he is the King of Peace. He comes to make peace between God and man, between man and man, between Jew and non-Jew, and in man himself between body and soul, between flesh and spirit. Our antiphon continues, "The King of Peace is exalted." It is particularly difficult to see how this is true at Bethlehem's stable. All details point to the very opposite, for he humbled himself even to the point of being born an infant, coming from the womb in a stable. How can human birth and in a human stable be exaltation? Now, the liturgy is a docile disciple of the Master. Referring to his death, Jesus once said, "The hour is come for the Son of Man to be glorified." His gaze was directed beyond Calvary and death, for these served only as a passage or as a means to transfigured life to exaltation. The kernel of wheat dies and decays in order to produce the plant. Liturgy raises our sights above the stable, above the manger, for these are only the dying grain of wheat. The final flower and fruit is the church. Stable and manger formed the cradle for the church. Stable and manger were the seed from which the mighty tree of God's kingdom grows. The church with all her saints, all her virtues, all her good works, and this is Christ's exaltation. Therefore, the liturgy, in spite of the infant's poverty and loneliness, sings jubilantly, "The King of Peace is exalted." For the birth of Christ is the beginning and the ultimate cause of all blessings upon earth.
Noel sing we both all in psalm, now rex pacificus easy come. Noel sing we both all in psalm, now rex pacificus easy come. Exhortum est in love and least, now Christ his brief and astis, and with his body us brought to bliss, both all and some, both all and some. In fruit of the trees of Mary bright, both God and many.